In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be with you today. Today is the Feast of Saint Barnabas. Now, we know that Barnabas actually wasn't one of the official apostles. He wasn't one of the 12, and he wasn't called to be an apostle in the same way that Paul was. But we know that he was a wonderful collaborator with Saint Paul. And so Saint Barnabas, whose actual name was Joseph, was born a Levite in Cyprus. He sold the land that he owned and gave the proceeds to the apostles. We see this in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. And although the exact date and place and circumstances of his death are not recorded, sacred tradition holds that Barnabas was martyred at Cyprus around the year 61 AD. So that's why if you went to Mass this morning, these other priests and deacons were wearing red vestments. The Bible also tells us that Barnabas' name was changed by the apostles to mean the son of consolation. But in Hebrew, Barnabas literally means one of the prophets. All right. So we ask the intercession of Saint Barnabas today, one of the close collaborators with Paul, someone who Paul relied on to help him spread the gospel, to help build help people build deep, intimate relationships with Jesus Christ in the very early church, the church that was being sorely persecuted. St. Barnabas is described in Acts of the Apostles as a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, who was a prophet and a teacher. We see this in Acts chapter 11. So through the prayers and intercessions of St. Barnabas, don't be afraid to openly share with the Father of Mercy your sorrows and your joys, your fears and your hopes, your aspirations and your dreams, because God's love and truth will never fail. So let's be firm in our resolve to always speak the truth in love, right? As Paul says in Ephesians 4:15, so that through the intercession of St. Barnabas, we become the light of the world, so that all the ends of the earth will see the power and the salvation of our God. So a little shout out there for Saint Barnabas. Well, today on Beacon of Truth, we're wrapping up our look at the theological, or also called the supernatural virtues of faith, hope, and love. And today, we're looking at the greatest of these, which is love. So Van Halen didn't want to talk about love, but we will today on Beacon of Truth. So we want to talk about the virtue of love, or also called charity. And you know, catechism refers to it as charity, faith, hope, and charity. And I like to use the word love better. Charity is great. That's what the church uses. Amen. But sometimes when we use the word charity, we think like helping the poor or something like that. So I like to use love, you know, better. So faith, hope, and love. So we're going to talk about the power of God's love. So get ready. If you want to share your experience of the power of God's love, a love that's sacrificial, because we're not just going to talk about love, because again, you know, we don't want to get trapped in the whole love is love, which is, you know, not really true. We're going to see today what true love is. True love is about sacrifice. True love is about gift of self to another. And so if you want to share your experience, your story about sacrificial love, dying to yourself to live for others, we'd love to hear from you today. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. You can also email us, beacon@ewtn.com. Or you can even text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response and text us your first name and your brief response. Remember that message and data rates may apply. And so today is also my last night here at St. Mary's in Bryantown, Maryland, here for a three-day parish mission. This morning, I gave the final talk for the morning session, which is the same talk repeated this evening on Eucharistic Adoration. And so if you're going to be around in the area, would love that. We have some people visiting from other parishes who heard the show yesterday and showed up last night. And so, again, this is my last night there in St. Mary's in Bryantown. Would love to see you. Come on out and see us. 7 o'clock is the talk, again, on Eucharistic Adoration, particularly important during this time of Eucharistic revival. And actually, I'm going to talk about that, actually, as part of the talk tonight. One of the major Eucharistic revivals back in the 11th and 12th century, extending into the 14th century, 15th century, and talk about how adoration has grown and developed during that time, you know, and how Christ really is truly, fully, substantially present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. And don't forget, I'm going to be going on pilgrimage later this year. Would love for you to join us if you can. We're going to be going to Italy. It's going to be the Great Saints of Italy, December 6th through the 16th. We're starting in Rome, and we're going to visit Padre Pio, Blessed Carlo Acutis. We're going to go to Assisi. We're going to go to Siena, St. Catherine. We're going to go to Florence and Bologna and Padua, St. Anthony, and we're going to Venice. It's going to be an amazing trip. So just go to my website, deaconharold.com. Go to the pilgrimage page, the tab at the top. And just look for the information, Great Saints of Italy, December 6th through December 16th of this year. And there's other opportunities for pilgrimages there as well. Well, this show is brought to you by some amazing people working behind the scenes. Charles Berry doing social media, Matt Kabinski screening calls, and the producer of all producers, the man who's in love with Jesus, yes. Ace McKay.
That would be me on all of those things. Get a business card. I wanted to ask you, since Father's Day is coming up this weekend, first of all, as a reminder, don't forget Dad. You got 4 days now. Let's do something. What is like your go-to plans for Father's Day?
Well, I don't really have any go-to. I just see what the family wants to do.
Okay.
You know, it's going to be a little harder now because my kids are all adults.
Yeah.
And only one of them is living at home, so you know, I'm sure they'll figure out something and they'll try to surprise me, but I'm not a big surprise guy, but they'll figure out something. I'll just be happy just to have everybody around and we go to dinner or something like that. Just simple, you know. But what about you?
I'm the same way. My kids know it's all about a big plate of wings. So if it's birthday, Father's Day, just me day, like, hey, you want wings? Yes, let's go. You know, and so we go and make a day of it. And sometimes there's ice cream to follow. But yeah, just, you know, I always say I'm at the age now that I can do the things I couldn't afford when I was 15. So let's do all of those things. So I'm the easiest of dads to please when it comes to that stuff.
There you go. Well, you know, today we're talking about the last of the theological virtues of love, right? Today, yeah. For the faith, hope. We looked at faith last week, we looked at hope yesterday. Now we're looking at love. And this reminded me, in thinking about you today, about songs about love, right? So I thought about Van Halen ain't talking about love, although we will be talking about it today.
Yep.
I want to know what love is, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so all different songs about that beautiful theme of love. And often, I mean, this is an opportunity for us to listen to the lyrics of these songs to see if they really kind of line up with how what we're going to be talking about love today.
Yeah.
This sacrificial love, this gift of self, a love that dies to the self, that always looks what's best for the other. Because this is the love that Jesus gave us from the cross.
Yeah, and a lot of times love songs lie to us. Like, we think that it's that, you know, Jerry Maguire vibe when it's much more sacrificial than that. But also, I always used to joke, but I think there's some seriousness to it, of when you hear an Air Supply song and it hits, it's because you have experienced a broken heart. But when you can hear it again and it doesn't hit as hard, you've healed through whatever pain that you felt when you heard that song last, or, you know, when you've attached a song to a relationship and now that relationship has ended,
yes.
You know, so again, you know, lyrics can can say a lot when we don't know what to say, but then it also be like, that was our song, you know, and then you don't ever want to hear it again. But really, it's a matter of then hearing it again and going, all right, that relationship, you know, served its purpose. It was at a time, you know, and I've healed through it. Thanks be to God. And then you move on and then you understand, okay, I think I know what love is now, which I think is a song as well.
That's a song. I was just about to say, I want to know, yeah, I want to know what love is. Or I'm All Out of Love was Air Supply.
Yes.
I'm all out of love or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so love songs. All right. We're talking about the meaning of love, the virtue of love, the theological or supernatural virtue of love today on Beacon of Truth, where we speak the truth in love. The phone number for you to join us today is 833-288-3986. And when we come back, we're going to look at the Soulful Psalms, which is now its own podcast. Stay tuned for Beacon of Truth. Yeah.
There's so much
going on with the song. Beautiful. Well, first of all, the beautiful guitar vamp there. With the passing chords and everything.
Yeah.
Love the relation between the bass and the drums there. You know, the bass is holding it down. The drums are funky, but they're not too busy. It's not taken away from the rest
simple
of the song.
Simple beat, yep.
Yeah, simple beat. Just love that. Just love that. It just keeps your head bobbing. It just keeps you want to, just makes you want to move.
One of my favorite questions, and you don't have to answer it now. You can think about it. What was the song that made you want to learn to play?
Oh, Queen, for sure. I'm 100% sure it was Queen.
Yeah.
No question about that, but I'm trying to remember exactly what song it was. I mean, I heard Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean, like the song that changed everything. But then that's what got me started listening to Queen. I think it was listening to Bohemian Rhapsody first, and then from there, getting that album and listening and just falling in love and like, oh, and then hearing, because no one sounded like Brian May.
Right.
And I obviously, being 10 years old at the time, I didn't realize that he made his own guitar.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't just buy it off. He actually made it. I didn't understand, like, tone and pickups and things like that. And I just know that no one sounded like him, and I loved the way that he sounded. And I wanted to sound like that. And then Eddie Van Halen and everything, all of that. Mm-hmm. Fell in love. Just fell in love. And speaking of love, that's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. We're talking about the theological or supernatural virtue of love. We looked at faith and hope, and the greatest of these, our Lord says, and Paul says, is love. The phone number to share your story, the power of God's love working in your life, a love that's sacrificial, a love that always looks at what's best for the other, a love that never looks to itself for fulfillment, but always looks toward our ultimate destiny in heaven. Everything looking through the lens of a relationship, deep, intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to hear your story today, 833-288-3986. And before we do that, we have Ace McKay to share some knowledge with y'all.
Well, if you didn't know this, today actually is the celebration of the ordaining of Father Joseph Mary, who is joining us on Friday's show for
That's
our Father's
right.
Day panel. So first of all, congratulations
yeah,
to
congratulations.
Him.
Yeah, congratulations. I
but
didn't know that.
We can kind of expound upon that celebration a little bit as we get into our father discussion on Friday as we head into Father's Day weekend.
That's right, because, you know, priests are spiritual fathers.
That's right.
And so don't forget, you know, when we celebrate fathers, yes, your father and grandfather, of course, but don't forget our priests, our spiritual father. That's why we're having Father Joseph on Friday for our roundtable discussion about fatherhood. Beautiful.
It's going to be good.
All right, it is time for us to break open God's Word in the Psalms. This is the Soulful Psalm segment of Beacon of Truth, and this segment of the show is available as its own podcast. You can go to EWTNPodcastCentral.com and download this Soulful Psalm segment as its own podcast, or go to iTunes or Spotify or SoundCloud and listen to the podcast there as well. Today, we're going to take a look at Psalm 18, verses 1 through 7. This is a really long psalm. So when we go through this psalm over time, we're probably going to have to break this down into like 7 or 8 different segments. That's how long this psalm is. But I chose this psalm today. You'll see why in a second. In the theme, we're talking about love, supernatural love today. And so, again, we're using the Revised Grail Psalms. This is, if you've been going to Holy Sacrifice and the Mass and notice that, hey, this psalm sounds a little bit different. This is the translation of the psalms that have been approved for use in the Mass. So you'll be hearing more and more of this translation the more frequently you attend Mass. This one, this Psalm 18, of course, it's in Book 1, Psalms 1 to 41. So all of these psalms are attributed to David. And this one has a very long prescript. So the entire first verse and part of the second verse includes the prescript, which says, "For the choir master of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke the words of this canticle to the Lord when he had been freed from the power of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, he said." Okay, that entire verse is the prescript. So what's going on here? So David wrote the psalm. He gave it to the choir master, one of the superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple, to put music to it. The servant of the Lord, who spoke the words of the canticle to the Lord when he'd been freed from the power of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So remember, from 1 Samuel 18, he was being pursued by Saul, who tried to kill him because Saul was jealous. Because remember, Saul was a warrior. He was out there fighting, but David was the probably the greatest warrior king of the entire Old Testament. And the women began to sing, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands." And Saul got jealous and tried to kill and pursue David through most of the rest of 1 Samuel to around 1 Samuel 28. So about 10 chapters, 18 to 28, we see this pursuit of David. And then so at the end, Saul, because David could have took Saul's life, but he didn't, out of respect for Saul being the king. So Saul relented, but then there was this whole thing for the last two chapters with the Philistines. All right. So at the end of all of that, so at the starting with 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel, you know, David, you know, no more pursuing by Saul, done with the Philistines. Here's what he wrote: "I love you, Lord, my strength. O Lord, my rock, my fortress, my savior, my God, my rock where I take refuge, my shield, my saving strength, my stronghold." Man, what? I love that. I mean, I could literally just repeat that psalm for a full hour in adoration, and I'll be good. I love when this psalm comes up in the Psalter. It usually comes up in week one of the breviary. I mean, this to me just gets my heart on fire. This part of this psalm, beginning psalm, gets my blood pumping, because it really speaks to how I think about my relationship with the Lord. "I love you, Lord, my strength," and all of these adjectives that he uses: my rock, my fortress, my savior, my strong foundation. In the shifting sands of the culture, in the shifting mentality of the culture of woke and cancel culture and all these things going on, we have that strong foundation, that strong fortress, that strong rock where we take refuge, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. "My shield, my saving strength, my stronghold." Yes, David. Yeah, this, you know, I love this. If this doesn't get you excited about pursuing or maintaining a deep inner relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't know what does. I mean, David just nails it here. He goes on, "I cry out, praised be the Lord, and see, I am saved from my foes." Right? So David's now reflecting on everything he's been through months being on the road, hiding in caves, faking mental illness, like he was going out of his mind, you know, everything to get out of danger. And now he could just rest in the Lord and reflect on his experience of the saving power of God. And look at him. He continues in verse 5. The waves of death rose about me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The snares of the grave surrounded me. The traps of death confronted me. So now he's articulating, look what I just came through. You know, death was right around me. Destruction, the snares of the grave, the traps of death. You know, this is where I was in my life. This is where I was, but I didn't get stuck there. Because why? The Lord, my rock, my strength, my fortress, brought me out from the darkness into his immeasurable light. Man, how awesome is that? I love that. Then he says, in my anguish. So what did he do? When he recognized what was going on around him, what did he do? He says in verse 7, in my anguish, I cried to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry to him reached his ears. Right? So there's so many things that come to my mind when I think about this verse. Again, looking at it allegorically. So looking at it as seeing it be fulfilled in Christ. So just like we do in our anguish, we cry out to God. We cry out to the Lord. And from his temple, he heard my voice. So David here is recognizing, remember, the temple is the place where God resides. So I think he's talking about the heavenly temple here. So God heard his voice. To me, this pulls me right into Eucharistic adoration, where there we are face to face with the Lord. And we're crying out to the Lord. We're opening our hearts to him. And there he is, present. Fully body, blood, soul, and divinity. And our cry, even our unspoken cries, the cries that come from our heart, they reach him there in adoration. And there he is, just listening to our hearts, listening to our heartbeat, listening to the deepest desires of our hearts. And his holy will fulfill those deepest desires according to his most holy will.
And I'm sure you've probably heard this from people. I know I've had it and probably even said it a few times. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Lord. Like, and that could mean in life, body, knowing that we were in, you know, drug situations or just dangerous situations, or even just in ministry. Like, I wouldn't be in ministry if it wasn't for God. I mean, he cleans those things up. But the thing I love is the thing that was our vice oftentimes becomes our ministry, because now we need to minister to help those who were where we were. You know, I always like to tell people, what's the thing you wish someone had said to you when you were at your lowest to help get you out of it? Because that's always your ministry. And this lines up with that.
No, exactly. I mean, I think about women coming out of human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
I was at, University of Mary. I think, right? I was giving talks there, I think University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota. And they had it was like a Martin Luther King kind of a week, and just justice and that kind of stuff. And they had this organization that helps women who come out of human trafficking to rebuild their lives and gives them opportunities to establish dignity and a job and self-worth. And all. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But one of the testimonies of the women who came out of it is now she's now working for them, helping women.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you said, you know, you come from the darkness. You're not returning to the darkness, but you're helping other people out of that darkness into the beauty of the light.
Amen.
The light, which is Christ. I love that. So today we're talking about the theological or supernatural virtue of love. We want to hear about the power of God's love working in your life. A love that's sacrificial, a love that's covenantal. 833-288-3986.
Doubling up on that. Da-da-da-da. You hear that like triple, like the triplet there on that one string?
Well, yeah, with the wah too. And it sounds like a little bit of, either echo, plex, or delay or something on that as well.
Yeah.
So, pretty cool. I like that. Sometimes you just have a little wah in your life.
That's another slogan we need to trademark.
There you go.
We all need a little wah-wah.
We all need a little wah-wah in our life. I love it. We're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And today we're talking about the theological or supernatural virtue of love. We looked at faith last week, looked at hope yesterday, and today we're looking at love. We'd love to hear from you about the power of God's love working in life. Maybe you want to share with us, you know, something that you were going through. We heard David in Psalm 18, you know, what he was going through, being pursued by his enemies, and how he came through that, how God brought him through. And in Psalm 18, he's just honoring and praising God for his strength and being with him in that darkness so he can come out the other side and witness the power of God's light working in his life. Would love to hear your testimony, your story, your sharing of how God and the power of his sacrificial self-gift of love has worked in your life. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986.
I want to let you know that if you're looking to avoid some of the dangers of social media, Dr. Marcus Peter is giving his insights with Teresa Tomeo on Catholic Connection happening tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Yeah, Dr. Marcus Peter, that's a good dude right there.
Right?
Hey, yeah,
talk
I
about
like
a guy,
that guy
with his
a lot.
Testimony and then God using
yes,
that for his ministry.
Yes.
Perfect example.
Yes, exactly. Great guy. Great guy. So listen to the show tomorrow. All right. We're talking about the theological supernatural virtue of love. Again, would love to hear your story, your testimony, to share with us, with the EWTN family, how the power of love, now not just any love, we're talking about sacrificial, the complete gift of self, the kind of love that poured from the cross when Jesus was suffering and dying on the cross. A love that comes through pain, a love that comes through suffering, a love that's a self-gift. Maybe it's taking care of a child that's disabled or elderly parent. Maybe you came through something yourself. You want to share that with our EWTN family. Give them the hope and the strength that they will get through whatever they're going through in their life right now. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. So you talk about love, or as the catechism calls it, charity. All right. So love is this virtue, theological virtue, by which we love God above all things for his own sake. So we love God not because he gave us something, not because he expects us to love him, but because he's God. We love God for his own sake. God created us ex nihilo. That means he created us from nothing. He did not have to create us. God existed as the Trinity from all eternity. But he creates everything that exists in the universe as an overflow of his love. See, love is so effusive. Love is so powerful that it cannot be contained. So God wanted to share this gift of himself. So he created the universe. And including creating us, human beings, made in his image and likeness. So this theological virtue of love, we love God above all things for God's own sake because he's God. And in doing that, we fulfill the greatest commandments. So Jesus says, love God and then love your neighbor as yourself. Right? So those are the two pinnacles of this theological virtue of love. Loving God for his own sake and then loving our neighbors as ourselves. Well, we have Manuel chiming in on YouTube. Oh, what? It says Manuel. Now it says Tim on YouTube. I was raised in a cult-like church. God finally opened my eyes, and I was able to get me and my family out. Well, praise God. Praise God. You know, and that's beautiful because sometimes, you know, we get mired and trapped in that. And you know, sometimes we're not looking for the light of Christ. But thanks be to God that your eyes were open, just like the blind man. Or St. Paul, you know, his eyes were open And he was able not just to see physically, but to see the power of Christ working in his life. We also have Manuel on YouTube. Hey, Deacon Harold. Greetings from Chile. Think I'm becoming a deacon myself, thanks to you. Oh, wow. Oh, praise God. I'll keep you in my prayers, Manuel. That happened, you know. The diaconate has been a true blessing to me, and I think the greatest blessing is being able to share the love that God has poured into my life and being able to share that with others through the diaconal ministry. Love that. So we want to hear about your story about how God has worked in his life, this self-giving, self-sacrificing love, a love that always looks at what's best for the other, not what's best for itself. Share your story with us, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Just like Gabriel has done, calling from St. Louis, listening on the Covenant Radio Network. Gabriel, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you. I listen to this program after work on my ride home every day, and I love it. It's great. I love what you do. The question today: God, like my own personal testimony of how God works in my life and His love for me. It was with drug addiction. Whenever I was at my lowest point in my life, where I lost everything, lost my family, you know, custody of my kids, lost almost everything, you know. And it wasn't until I fully surrendered myself and I fully, wholeheartedly asked for help. I've always believed in God. I grew up Catholic. I raised my kids Catholic. I went to Catholic school, you know. All my life. So God's always been in my life. But it wasn't until I was at my lowest and I surrendered myself. And now I believe He keeps me sober every day. And I believe that is fact. You know, that's me. I believe He led me to Alcoholics Anonymous. I work a program. And I believe that my addiction actually brought me closer to God in a relationship sense, and I just, you know, there's nothing that can convince me that God is doing for me what I obviously can't do for myself. So, you know, that's just my own personal testimony, and I've been 4 years clean and sober, and you know, I just look at it as a blessing that I had this relationship with God.
Well, thank you, Gabriel. I'll tell you, your story is so powerful. First of all, because it reminds me of the prodigal son. You know, you got to understand the power of that parable. It wasn't just that the son had squandered all his father's money on, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and then he got to the pig pen. Jesus could have left it there and said he was in the pig pen, because that would have been bad enough. But what you reminded me of, Gabriel, you said you were at the deepest. I mean, you were the deepest darkness. Jesus adds in that parable, not only was he in the pig pen, he longed to eat the pods that fell from the pig's mouths. In other words, he longed to eat what the pigs ate. So imagine you're hearing Jesus give this parable. You're Jewish, and you know that the dietary laws that pigs were unclean animals to eat. So being in the pig pen, being in there with the pigs, was bad enough. But when he longed to eat what the pigs ate, they eat slop. They eat garbage. Jesus wanted to drive the point home that this young man was as far away from a relation with God that you can get. I'm sure the people hearing this would have been, oh my good. Somebody probably threw up. It doesn't say it in the scriptures, but probably somebody got sick, because they're saying, how could he even launch? That was the point that Jesus was making. And as you said so beautifully in your testimony, Gabriel, it's at that point that the young man realizes the only person that can help me right now is God. And it's then that he's able to make those turn around, metanoia or shub in Hebrew means turn your mind around. He's able to make that transition to turn around and start taking those first courageous steps back to the Father, just like you've done, Gabriel. And you've been stepping to the Father now for 4 years. And you better believe, Gabriel, that I will be praying for you and all the listeners will be praying for you that you continue on your journey into deeper relationship with Christ, that Christ will keep you clean and sober, that he will give you his grace, and that you cooperate with that grace so you can continue to do amazing things for the Lord in this life. I tell you, I've been lifted by your testimony, Gabriel, and I want to thank you so much for calling Beacon of Truth. And you can join Gabriel sharing your testimony about how the power of God's love, a self-giving, self-sacrificing love, a love that always looks at what's best for the other, and how the power of that love has worked in your life by giving us a call on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. You know, the Apostle Paul spends some time talking about love in his letters, right? You know, the famous lines about love that they always seem to read at weddings. Love is patient, love is kind, love is all these things. And one thing he says, though, if I have not love, I am nothing. Right? So love is superior to all the virtues. Because think about it. Our whole goal, we talked about hope yesterday. Our whole hope is eternal life with God forever in heaven. But when we get there, we see the fulfillment of our relationship. There is no faith because faith is no longer needed. There is no hope because the hope has been fulfilled. The only thing that will continue to exist past death and hopefully, God willing, spending eternal life with God forever in the beatific vision is love. That's the only thing that will be left. That's why love is superior to all of the other virtues. It's also the first of the virtues, right? So faith, hope, and love abide in these three, and the greatest of these is love, which also reminds me of my absolute favorite, one of my favorites in the entire New Testament, 1 John 4:16. God is love. And he who lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. After praying this Psalm 63, you know, the beginning of Psalm 63 in adoration, this is my next go-to verse. So think about it. God is love. So love is God is love. So love is the is God himself. The fullness of love is God. And if we live in love, we live in God. Right? So that reminds me of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. That says we become partakers in the divine nature. We share life with God. And it's that self-giving, self-sacrificial love that always looks at what's best for the other, a love that dies to itself and lives for the other, that allows us to live in God, and then God will live in us. Because it's a relationship, and it's a two-way street. We give of ourselves, and God gives to us. I love, although God initiates that relationship, it's our responsibility to respond to what God is saying to us.
Well, and also when you think about the verses from 1 Corinthians, so love is patient, love is kind. What if you took love out of that and put in your name? So Deacon Harold is patient. Deacon Harold is kind. Ace is like, you know, keeps no wrong of right, you know, all that stuff. Like if you take that, that is another reminder of an example of that we are with God living in us, that we, it allows us to be love to the world. And so that's always keeping me in check, especially as that verse and verses are used for wedding ceremonies. It's, and you say this often, you said, you know, it's not I do, it's I die. You die to self for your bride. And so in that, I think across the board that tying back into 1 Corinthians, that we can be love to the world when we put ourselves in that, because as we become one with God, we become one with love.
That's actually a great tool as part of an examination of conscience, actually. Replacing love with your name in that, ooh, boy. Boy, I can see, like, oh, wait, that's not me. Or you can say, here's where I need to keep working on.
Right.
Here's something in my life that needs to improve. I love that. We're talking about the power of love, sacrificial love, covenant love, a love that empties itself and pours itself out, just like Jesus emptied himself and poured himself out in love on the cross. So we're talking about the power of God's love working in your life. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Share your testimony of how God's power has worked in your life, how his love has worked in your life, just like it did, we heard, with David in Psalm 18. 833-288-3986. Just like Susan on YouTube. Susan says that Catholic charity to me means living my life with an intention of sacrifice. Intentional sacrifice. Well said, Susan. For my work life and my spiritual life. That's right. Because you can't divide yourself. Remember Jesus, and we just heard in the gospel this past Sunday, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So it has to be this integrated approach where this sacrificial, intentional sacrificial love that Susan is talking about here penetrates every aspect of my life. Right? So every aspect of my life. So we'd love to hear from you how the power of God's love working in your life, the sacrificial, self-giving love, 833-288-3986, 833-288-3986. Just like Robert has done, calling from my neighbor to the north, Olympia, Washington. And Robert's listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Welcome to Beacon of Truth, Robert.
Thank you.
What'd you like to share with us today?
Well, born again experiences described by Nicodemus that. Living my life until several years ago, I was at Mass, a retreat Mass, in which we sang the song of St. Francis, "Make me a channel of your peace." I loved to sing, but I didn't realize I was asking a question that God answered as I finished that verse. He just touched me, and I couldn't sing anymore. I was crying and weeping that he commissioned me to be a channel of his love, his peace. I couldn't even stand. That along with this wonderful experience that I try and live the rest of my life following the commandment that Jesus gave at the Last Supper, to go with the new covenant, the new commandment, to love as you are loved by Jesus. And I, as an abandoned child, I was taught by psychologists, though I was very self-centered and was all about me, so I really loved my neighbor as myself. But I was falling in the same trap Jesus said, you love your neighbor more, you love yourself more than your neighbor. That's the wrong conversion. You got to do the giving love, the good for the other, not yourself love. And to me, that's a goal to share God's love, a perfect love, with everyone, by word and deed. And so I still shake thinking about the commission Jesus gave me and all of his disciples to love one another as he loves us.
Amen. Robert, preach it, brother. I love it. What a wonderful testimony. And you're spot on. I mean, the love that we have, the love that we share, is a reflection of the love of Christ. So when people are experiencing our love, they're supposed to be experiencing the love of Christ working in and through us, right? Loving our neighbor as ourselves. Christ's command to love others as I have loved you. So we're reflects of that so beautifully and well said, Robert. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. We're talking about the power of God's love working in our lives today. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Just like Antonio has done, calling from New York, listening on Sirius XM 130. Antonio, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Doing well, thank you. Great to hear from you.
I want to just to give you a testimony of experience I have. For me, it's a miracle with the rosary. My wife was diagnosed with cancer about 6-7 years ago, breast cancer, and was not easy one to treat, as she had to go to the chemotherapy and radiation. And I pray the rosary every day, always. Not always pray the rosary, but I, when the minister said she was diagnosed with cancer, I start praying the rosary every day and ask the Virgin Mary to take care of her. And everything I do in life, I always do. I say I put in God's hand, and whatever God decides, it is what it is. And I accept it, and I agree with that. And, you know, there's nothing to fight about it. So when she went for surgery, after being going through all the treatment and whatever she had to go, they did the test, all the same tests they did in the beginning. And she called me and said, hey, all the tests came negative. Okay, they can't find tumor. It's nothing there anymore. The doctor was like, wow. What happened? And I guess they say, you know, the doctor, of course, is going to say, oh, the chemotherapy works, you know, and dissolve the tumor, whatever. They had to do the surgery because that's how the doctor does. They say, hey, we have to do the surgery anyway to carve the area where the tumor was in case something left there. And the lymph nodes, they still had to take it out. It was, everything was normal. And I'm 100% fully believe that was a miracle. And so far, she's cancer-free, no issues, don't take medication, nothing.
Wow, praise God. Antonio, what a powerful story. What a powerful witness, the power of God's love. And God is the divine physician. He's the healer. You know, we put our trust in doctor, physician, amen, because that's their calling of invocation by God. But don't forget, we also have to trust in the divine physician, the God of love and mercy who brings the ultimate healing that will bring us to life with him forever in heaven. Oh, thank you so much, Antonio, for sharing your witness for us. From Beacon of Truth, we're talking about the theological virtues. I think we got time to take one more call. We got Tracy calling from Kentucky, listening on Holy Family. Was that right?
Yes.
Oh, Tracy, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
All right. Well, I was telling the call screener, about, I don't know, 9 years ago, my family was moving. We get into the house. Some things started happening that we weren't expecting. My dad was in a tractor accident that went over a 30-foot cliff. Some other things all happened, and I felt like I was falling apart. And all along, I felt like I was praying and doing the things that I should do to ask God to lead me and guide me. Well, I got into the breaking point where my family was about ready to check me into the hospital somewhere. It was bad. And I got on my knees and I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I need you. And the first time that I said, I can't do this, realizing that I thought I was the one trying to do it all. And Jesus distinctly said to me, I've been waiting all along. I'm going to get emotional. For you to give up. And let me take over. And it took a little bit, but he certainly took over. He's so good.
Oh, amen, Tracy. That's so hard to let go and to let God. We said, let go and let God. It's easy to say, hard to do. It is hard to trust. Especially when you're in moments of pain. But when God is calling you, trust me. Open your heart to me. Give your life to me. Love me. What was really saying when we respond that way is love me, God. I trust you enough to make your love and your witness and your power number one in my life. I love that. Thank you so much, Tracy. Well, tomorrow we're going to, it's Word of God Wednesday. So grab your Bibles. We're taking a look at John chapter 3, verses 16 to 36. We're looking at the life and the light. John 3, 16 to 36 on Word of God Wednesday. Now, remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. And until we meet again tomorrow, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, love you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.